Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes past 5 p.m. Time for the Think Tank. All veterans today. We have Alvin Reed, Gabe Pfeiffer, and Mike Ferguson. Hello, boys. How are you?
Hey.
Good to see you.
It was just funny. I just said, like, I'm not a veteran. I don't want to, you know, having a rough day.
Alvin's having a rough day.
He's trying not to steal anybody's valor. That's nice. I appreciate that.
I'm kind of like, wait, you must have heard that wrong at some point. Okay, I got you. Veterans of the show.
Yeah, all right. Think tank.
Right. Alvin's running late. He's wearing a KU sweatshirt.
I'm in the doghouse.
All kinds of things.
Right, man. Me in the postal service.
You want to tell the story? Can you?
Okay, I've had very spotty mail delivery. Like Mondays, you know, when you get your inserts in the mail, come every Monday, or that's our day to get them. Mm-hmm. I don't get any mail. I'm missing two monthly magazines, but I got a W-2 form today that the postmark is February the 4th that went to the wrong address, apparently, because somebody wrote wrong address on it, and then it got to my house today. So that was kind of the last straw. So I had to go take care of that. And then I was there like 20 minutes. Thought I'd be there 5, was there 20, you know. So anyway, I think the people who work at the post office, post workers, are tremendous. They've got a difficult job, and it's hard, and I understand that. I don't hate our mail system, but sometimes you just have to just take action.
Yeah.
So I took it today.
I don't hate our mail deliverers. I do hate the mail system.
Well, maybe that's a good way. Yeah. Maybe that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. True. Rach had a story a couple weeks ago that comes out about once a year where a letter carrier got overwhelmed and just started stuffing it in his garage.
It's like, screw this
but
stuff.
But see, that's what I'm hoping that didn't happen.
Your W-2 sitting in somebody's head.
Right. But, you know, like, hey, and I forward two magazines. My youngest daughter, engineering student, we got her like 2 years ago, started getting Popular Mechanics. Okay, it's cool stuff in there. And then, Simple Pleasure, TV Guide. And I mail it to my
daughter.
You're
the guy that gets TV Guide. I didn't know that was still around.
And it's still around. I mail it to my daughter in Chicago. I said, hey, you want me to keep getting TV Guide? She said, yeah, you know.
He's one of 17 surprise subscribers.
Do you get a discount since you do Reader's Digest as well?
You know what? Once you stay on it a while.
Is there a coupon in the back of your pudding?
They'll send you, like, I get letters from, like, Sports Illustrated, everything like that. And I bet you do. And it's like they offer to, like, pay you to take the magazine.
You're getting spammed by geriatrichoneys.com.
All of it.
I will tell you that I've got this sign up on my door that just says deliveries. Please set package behind the – I've got this little brick wall on the porch. I said, please set deliveries behind the brick wall so they're not visible from the street.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. Amazon gets it. FedEx gets it. Who's the other one?
UPS
gets it. Mm-hmm. The post office does not understand this concept. Every time I have a package from the post office, it is front and center on top of the steps going, hey, steal Mike and Rachel's stuff. Here it is. They are the only delivery service that cannot seem to read that plain English.
I've always thought maybe I just have always been jaded. But I remember as a pretty young person just looking at mailboxes and thinking, really?
We can't do something better than this.
There's got a box in the front of my house that important stuff comes to, cash, checks, all sorts of things, and we just trust people not to take it. And now in 2020, we realize,
I get it now.
Right, and ours is against the house, you know, so you have to walk up to the door and actually put the mail in there. But
We have a mail chute that goes into the house, so yeah.
Those are nice.
I don't pay for it. Cheap, obviously. But I see why people have post office box. If you take the middleman out of anything, it's better.
I don't know. If you have a P.O. box, I just think you're getting something illegal.
You do?
Yeah. Once again, Jaden, you're hiding something from somebody.
Now, I've never had one, but I have never thought.
Let me put it this way. If you find out I have a P.O. box,
we know what's going to happen.
I'm getting something that's wrong.
Okay,
something,
man.
I'm ashamed of.
Oh, man. I honestly never really thought about that.
Hello, my name's Esther Williams. I'm here for my P.O. box. Yes, Mr. Williams. Here you go.
There you go.
Thank you. I'll see you next month. There's okay. Nothing illegal in there.
I must be naive. I thought people got their mail in the post office box.
You and I keep the universe in balance.
All right, there we go.
Oh,
this box was kind of moving around, but I guess it's okay.
Yeah. This one smells funny. Okay, let's talk about the debate. I watched almost the whole thing. I was fascinated. I was entertained. Let's just kind of go person by person.
I will tell you, I did not watch it. I have not watched any of the clips. I haven't seen any of the analysis, but I bet I came away knowing as much as you did.
Just from the highlights?
No.
Just from?
From nothing.
Oh, okay.
Because I can guess what happened.
Tell me what you guess happened.
I think everybody went after Bloomberg because, you know, the new billionaire on the block needs to be taken down. You know, you have to maintain your class warfare cred. So you go after the richest guy on the stage. You know, they don't like the idea of somebody using their own money to buy an election. So, that, you know, because they're busy trying to use taxpayer money to buy an election. You know, so that happened. Bernie probably didn't get as attacked as he probably should have been as the front runner. And then you had the presentation of the platforms, which was probably, you know, socialism, socialism light, socialism select, and socialism with lime. So,
yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close.
The only thing that really surprised me, because I know who Michael Bloomberg is, but I don't know him. I've probably seen him say 20 words my whole life, but he was incredibly unimpressive. He was very impressive in what an ass he seems to be. You know how you can just tell about some people?
Yeah.
Like, comparing he and Trump is very interesting to me. They're obviously both billionaire New Yorkers.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're both a-holes.
Yes. But it's so weird because I think Trump is an absolute a-hole. However, he seems like a fun a-hole compared to Bloomberg, who seems like a real one. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Trump seems like, I'm having fun. Hey, you, I hate you. You're fat. You know, whereas Bloomberg seemed like a true, like, I can't say anything nice about anyone. I'm just cranky and...
Let me pull out my nerd card real quick. Sorry to jump on everything. But Trump is basically Tony Stark. He's a narcissist. He's bombastic. He's full of himself. But he's got a little bit of things to his credit, actual skills to his credit. And if anybody else except him did the stuff that he did, we'd say, oh, wow, what a
good analogy.
You know, and about half people like him and half people don't.
Yeah. I thought it was definitely a Bernie crowd, which I don't think is fair. They should almost do these things without the crowd, because anything that someone said that was the least bit tramping on Bernie's territory, they got boos. And I don't care who you are, what you're doing, if Jesus himself would have been booed at the Sermon on the Mount, people would have walked away saying, this guy didn't have so much.
I think it's safe to say Jesus would be booed at any Democratic debate just for being Jesus.
But
actually, I have to step in here. The exact opposite would be true.
How so?
Jesus showed up and said, like, all this, you know, these problems you have with other people and aliens, be they illegal, whatever, homosexuals and whatnot. I mean, Jesus' sermon would not fly in right-wing America. As much as they love Jesus, what Jesus would be talking about, I'm sorry. They'd say, oh, no, you got that
This
wrong.
Is good. Would Jesus be talking about socialism?
Right.
No, really, real question.
Right? Well, in a way, he would. Say, like, maybe we divvy it up, maybe we do this, maybe we do that.
No.
But,
no.
Well, here's the main
huge
thing.
The difference between charity and socialism.
No, I didn't say, but I'm saying, like, if Jesus were here, all right, now this,
I don't
we're
disagree.
Getting into territory here that I'm not really equipped to speak on, but I would say this. First problem people would have was, I didn't know Jesus was a black man. Now, that's the first thing that people would say, like, wait a minute.
He's not, though.
He's supposed to have blue eyes. He's supposed to have
those pictures are
blonde hair.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the first thing the world would have.
I can say something about that, too.
Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, you know, in Christian, the Christian world, post, you know, mm-hmm. post-Christ, right? You know, the Christian world as it was expanding. All of those various cultures did what all cultures do, is they transfer the personality onto somebody that they are most familiar with.
Yeah.
If you actually look at the, you know, the paintings and the carvings and things like mm-hmm. that of in Christian churches in Ethiopia, where, you know, one of the first places Christianity went, Jesus is very dark-skinned, very, you know, more so than he would have actually been
Have you been
to
Israel?
No, I haven't.
I've been to Israel. If you ever go to Israel, you'll look around and you'll say, like, okay, I don't know what Jesus looked like, but he does not look like the European flair.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. That's
well, no.
all I'm
saying. Yeah, clearly.
He was a Middle Eastern man.
Yeah,
he looked
that's
like a Middle Eastern
but
man.
What I'm saying is, it wasn't like a European conspiracy to turn Jesus
into
blue.
Did I say
blue.
That?
No, I'm addressing
all right.
I'm addressing the Zeitgeist in the air here. But, you know, so it's not like that.
Back to
but,
the debate.
But the, you know, and the other thing, though, is Jesus was not he was expressly not political. So I think that conversation always gets into muddy territory.
Well, no, true. And that's the absolute truth. In fact, that was his downfall.
I love that we started the segment bitching about the post office.
Now we're talking about
what Jesus looked like.
The historical Jesus, yes.
I had a good line last night from a guy I do a radio show, sports, and he said, like, he got this from someplace. He said, like, Democrats fall in love, Republicans fall in line. And last night was the, okay, we're about to start having the fall in line sessions here. Okay, or there's going to be a brokered convention or something's going to go on because Bernie ain't winning. Okay, so something's got to happen between now and then. And if you remember 4 years ago, there was a lot of, you know, Donald Trump is this, and Donald Trump is that, and Donald Trump is the downfall. And where'd all that talk go? You know, once he won the nomination, everybody got with it. Same thing will happen, I think, with Michael Bloomberg.
Do you think Bloomberg's going
to? I absolutely do.
Wow. Do you really?
I absolutely do.
Boy,
as the dark horse, huh?
Think just a week at a time, people are just going to come to realize that, you know,
this ain't working, y'all. I think I'm naive because when I was watching, and of course, when I'm watching, I'm egotistical enough and narcissistic to think everyone's doing what I'm doing. But I think if everyone in the country watched last night, Bloomberg would be done because he just looked that bad, I thought.
Inept.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Elizabeth Warren took him out.
Tore him a new one.
That's what I'm saying. That's all fine and dandy. Okay. It's just kind of like, well, when Sunday comes, you could be Bill Belichick. But if you got the best chance of winning, that's who everybody should at least turn to. And that's what this will ultimately come down to.
The other thing is looking at, you know, how much do the debates actually matter? You know, I think people like us, you know, we give it a bigger spotlight than it actually has. I mean, you cannot get onto social media, YouTube, Roku, anything without seeing a Mike Bloomberg ad.
Yeah.
And they're very well produced and their messaging is very strong. I mean, for those of us who understand basic economics, it makes me that much more resolved to never vote for him because I understand basic economics. But those are the things. I mean, he went from 0 to 9%. In a matter of 2 weeks in some of the polls. That's brand awareness.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that a lot of the Democrats on that stage last night were starting to go into panic mode where they were basically saying, oh, crap, Bernie could actually win this, and there is no possible way Bernie gets elected. I think they realize right now that we're Thelma and Louise, and there's the cliff.
Right.
You know?
No, that's exactly it. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what's going to change. Now, I don't know which of our moderates are going to actually drop out of the race, you know, before it's too late.
Are there any moderates in the race?
Well, or put it this way, not Bernie.
Okay. We'll pick it up there right after this. DGS.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. Think Tank. We have Alvin Reed, Gabe Pfeiffer, and Mike Ferguson. So, Mike, you said something very confidently at the end that, well, everyone's panicking because they know that Bernie cannot be elected. Mm-hmm. Let's drill down on that because I believe that too. I say it pretty cavalierly as well, but I gave Donald Trump a 0.0 chance about 6 months before he was elected. So Is it true that Sanders really cannot be elected? Alvin,
I gave Donald Trump a 0% chance like days before he was elected.
I've said on the show that I'm 0 for 2 in the last presidential elections. Or at least not
predictions.
For re-election.
Let's attack it another way. How could Sanders get elected? Other than some gigantic blow up with Trump. Forget that. Things are status quo. How does Bernie win the Electoral College?
I don't see how he does it. The Democratic Party, at least the talking heads, the people you saw on the stage last night, the other people who are the leaders of the entire party and of the American left right now, they are so much farther to the left than even mainstream Democrats are, and certainly so much farther to the left than even left-leaning independents are. I think that the gap is scary when you look at Sanders, who at the very least is a Marxist, if not a Leninist. I think that gap is way too far for even in industrial blue collar states for them to overcome.
I think one of the things that usually holds true in elections, especially in when you have an incumbent, is that people vote their pocketbooks, right? And there's this recent Gallup poll about people's confidence in where that their economic situation is going to improve in the next year, and it's in the 70s, high 70s, low 80s for both Republicans and independents, and in the 30s for Democrats. So there is, and if the independents are the ones who make the races, especially in the swing states, they're leaning towards the status quo, because status quo, they see the promised land on the other side.
I really wanted to talk about this today, and this is a perfect segue into it. Last night, Bloomberg said something about communism, and everyone went, "Ooh, no." And Sanders said, hey,
that's right, yeah.
That is unfair. And then this morning I was watching Stephanie Ruhle, and I think it was A.B. Stoddard said socialism. And Stephanie Ruhle said, hey, democratic socialism. And A.B. Stoddard said, whatever. And it was really awkward. So let's talk about that, because let's not talk about it in a way professors would, but this is important, because you have a democratic socialist running for president who bristles at the mere mention of communism or socialism. Can someone ferret this out for me?
He embraced socialism last night. He was saying democratic socialism. I believe that, democratic socialism, which is like, I saw a cartoon on Facebook that had two piles of dog excrement, and one had sprinkles. He goes, "That's democratic socialism because it has sprinkles on it." I think Bernie is coming around to once again, because remember, he called himself a socialist for many, many years. I think he's embracing it, and he thinks that he can sell this to the electorate.
Well, he can't. Okay, and I think that's fairly obvious.
Right.
I don't. This Bernie momentum or whatever. I think most. The overwhelming majority of Democrats are moderate, okay? Too conservative, okay? I mean, there are conservative Democrats, okay? I'm probably closer to that than I am, a moderate. That's the overwhelming majority of the party, okay? Going back to what you said, well, how could Bernie win? In a way, the same way that Donald Trump did, in that somehow or the other, in this day and age, a lot of people voted 3.5 years ago that hadn't voted before. That there were places that said, like, man, this is the highest number of people that ever voted in this precinct before. And if that's out there and we kind of don't know about it, on the other hand, then that would be the answer to your question.
Gotcha.
I don't think that's happening. I just think that I think there is a lot of Bernie momentum from a lot of people that actually aren't really involved, and I would think a lower percentage of them would actually even be out there voting come November than it seems like right now.
I trust you when you say that most of the Democrat Party is more like you, but wouldn't that be like if I owned Pizza Hut and I loved pineapple pizza, but America loves pepperoni, but I said, damn it, We're going all in on pineapple.
It's the only pizza you get.
Yeah, sort of analogous, because if the DNC is smart and if what you say is true, then whatever. If I'm Perez and I'm a socialist, but I want to win, I'm going Blue Dog Democrat.
Yes.
Why are we? What are they missing?
But I listen.
I think they'd win if they did that.
Yeah, I think you'd be true to whatever your political aspiration is until you get to a certain point and you say, like, well, now I need to win this next office. And so some of that stuff I got to leave back there. All right. Bernie is elected president of the United States. Okay. Let's say it happens.
Hurts my heart.
Is he going to forgive every student loan? That ain't going to happen.
He might try.
I mean, he's not even going to try. He's not even going to try. See, you know, that's the whole thing. You know, is that wall going to stretch from San Diego to El Paso, Texas? You know, like was put out there.
It's moving.
Yeah, all right, it's two blocks long. Whatever. But the whole idea was like, that ain't never going to happen. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
350
okay?
miles.
Same thing with... You know,
the difference is Trump is trying.
I don't even think he'll try.
You don't think Bernie will try?
But I don't think he'll even try some of this nonsense. All right. And I think that's true of candidates from president of the United States to school board.
Yeah, I will say, though.
You're talking a bunch of stuff to a bunch of people that might vote for you. And I don't want to say you're telling them what they want to hear, but you're telling them what they want to hear.
First of all, are you suggesting the presidential candidates are making promises that they won't keep?
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Here's the second thing, though, is just to kind of follow up what I said is, you know, that you talked about the more moderate voters who make up the Democratic Party. I'm going to fill in a blank and tell me if I'm putting words in your mouth, but we're talking about in middle America too, not just on the coast.
No, I'm talking about throughout the country.
I am telling you that if there were a Democratic candidate who reflected those people, they would win.
I
don't think that the Democratic Party elite has any interest in being that party.
I have believed in that, but see, that's why I was so wrong about Barack Obama, okay? Because I thought, like, during the primary thing, I said, like, that'll filter out because ultimately, you know, the party that I espouse to be a member of ain't going to elect nobody named Barack Obama to be the Democratic nominee for president, regardless of his heritage or anything like that. Just wrong name, wrong time, wrong city. Just not going to happen. I was wrong. OK, so where it goes from here, that's what I said. This whole thing about, like, hey, look, you're talking to a guy, like I said, 0 for 2, big time. You know, you're saying, like, oh, man, I didn't think Donald Trump was going to get elected. All right. So who are we to say, kind of, in this day and age, who can and can't win? Now, I'm saying with full confidence that Bernie Sanders cannot win, you know, the
presidency.
The presidency.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he could maybe win the nomination. But
yeah,
even then, I think that that's, you know. Then your problem with that is, okay, he gets close. It's close. I broke with the convention. He doesn't win. But then all his zealots probably don't vote.
Oh, definitely not.
All right. And that's
they're going to riot.
You're going to have to bring everybody on board at some point.
And that's another comparison. I think that the Bernie bros, let's just, for convenience,
name them,
are very much like the Trumpsters, the Trump sycophants, in that there's a certain percentage of the people, like I voted for Trump. Mm-hmm. I'm the farthest thing away from a Trump sycophant, but they're out there in big numbers.
Sure.
And I think that they both share that quality that they would say, screw this, screw the party. Let the other side get elected. You hurt my guy, and I'm not going to help you.
And I agree with that. I agree with that. And some way you're going to have to, you know, come to the, you know, declaration early enough that you try to keep, you know, folks on board. You're going to have to, like, say, like, somebody's going to have to do very well on Super Tuesday, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you can then say, like, look, the reason that this person won and Bernie didn't win was because
otherwise,
people are moving on from Bernie.
I mean, the superdelegate and, you know, the Bernie bros already are still pissed off that they, in their view, the nomination was rigged against him. And I think they actually have a pretty strong argument in 2016 that it was rigged against him. And so if he doesn't get it after getting to a long run, I think you see a lot of people who will not stick around for the
eventual nominee. That's true. But that's his problem. I don't think that's where the superdelegates will.
Yeah,
that's enough of that.
Yeah. What,
you know?
Okay, I want to learn about superdelegates when we come back. Worst tease I've ever given on a radio show.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, guys. Think Tank and Alvin Reed, Gabe Pfeiffer, Mike Ferguson. So, Alvin, you brought up superdelegates, which seems like the kind of thing you make up when you're 10. You know, like, we're going to have a club. We're all in the club.
We all have
it's
a
me,
vote.
It's me, and it's Rachel, it's Gabe, and it's Mike, and it's Alvin. And everyone gets the same vote, except for Rachel. She gets three.
She's, super
she's a superdelegate.
Right. I'd actually
what's the difference?
Yeah,
I'd what is the difference? Oh, so would I. I'd give her full autonomy.
All the votes.
All the votes.
I know you people. I'd give her full autonomy.
Now, I think the
Queen Rachel.
I think the idea was that, okay, let's say you're a superdelegate, like you're a congressperson, okay? You represent however many people. So you're representing technically your constituency.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how big your congressional district is, that might lend itself to if, you know, we get one delegate, okay, or two regular people, you know, Joe and Nancy, American, right. You know, whatever, and they get to go.
Democratic committee members.
Yeah, but just whatever. On the other side, too, probably, all right, whoever they are, okay, just regular people. Maybe they aren't. That's not a fair representation of someplace else that has a larger population. So, thus, your guy or gal that holds that office helps you out by having some
additional clout. So the more powerful you are, the more people you represent, you are free to vote any way you want.
I think there's a little bit more to it than that.
And does it work that way in practice, do we know?
Actually, I think it does, because very seldom is there any, you know, backlash by the time the convention gets there.
Yeah. So it sounds like an exercise in Republicanism, not in Republicanism as a party, but as in representation.
Yes. You know? And I think that's where it started at.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of things that we can look back and say, like, at some point it might be time to change that.
This is an honest question. Only time I've ever heard of a debate over superdelegates is within the Democratic Party. 2016 was a big. Do Republicans have superdelegates? Because this is a party nomination.
I don't
rule.
Believe they do.
I don't think Republicans have that.
But they, I think their nomination process to the convention is different.
Than superdelegates are people who simply are not bound by their state's vote.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a prediction, and I mean this truthfully. I'm not rich, but I got some dough. I would put half my net worth on if Donald Trump is reelected, which I believe he will be, he'll be impeached again. I truly believe it. And what made me really think that was this Assange allegation that they got to Julian and said, hey, look, if you say that there's no Russian hacking, we'll pardon you. It may not be true, but it may. You know, I don't think he can quit doing this stuff. And I think they're going
to
impeach him.
Well, I was just going to say he would have to do something again.
He will.
That reached the muster of going through that whole ceremonial thing again. I don't think, you know, Democrats could win the Senate, but I mean, let's say they did. Okay, the next morning, the heads of the Republican Party would finally go to a meeting at the White House and tell the president, "You got to calm down.
Things have changed.
Okay, they'll love them, hate them,
whatever, they would have to explain to them that this is the new reality now. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think he'll be impeached again. And also, can I also say this to people across the United States? 4 years from now or 5 years from now, there's going to be another president.
Yep.
Yep.
And if you ask Las Vegas, Monte Carlo, the odds makers, they will probably tell you that president will probably, just odds wise, will probably be a Democrat. So everybody needs to just calm down. Okay. All of this, he's just going to a dictatorship and blah, this and blah, that and other thing. Shut up.
Oh, I always thought that stuff was silly, even during the Obama administration. Granted, there was, due criticism for, executive action that, people think was overstepped the bound of the executive. I think that's a healthy debate, the powers of each of the branches. I think that kind of debate needs to be had. There needs to be constant back and forth. That's the point of having separation of powers. But the rhetoric that suggested that he was going to suspend elections and stay in office.
Obama was accused of that too.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Clinton
was
accused of it. George W. Bush.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's all silly.
What are you talking about?
It's all silly. Yeah.
Right. And if nothing else, we've set up a government. We have set forth a process. We have set forth, for some reason, we elect older people to be president of the United States. Nobody
45.
Wants to be president after 8 years. It would kill him. Goodness gracious. People say,
Donald
Trump
is like,
environment. Right, old boy and gain like my 30s.
Everybody who goes in comes out looking about 80 years old than they went in. So,
and it's just like, okay,
you know what, though? I bet you Trump would be the exception. I bet if Trump could do a third term, he'd be the guy that'd say,
I think you're right about that. I think he's having too much
Obama
fun.
Obama was probably,
he's having a blast.
Was probably done. Bill Clinton would have done a third.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill Clinton would have won after getting impeached and all that mess.
Probably.
Right. He would have won. He was still, immensely popular.
Yeah. Economy was still good at the time.
He might have said, if you want to do it, you can have four more years. He may have done it.
I read in a book that was written by, one of the Secret Service agents who was there, said that the night, I've read this actually a number of times, that the night, his last night in office before the inauguration of his successor, that they stayed up all night just taking in the White House.
Who is this?
Bill Clinton.
That
they
just
stayed up,
around
they just
and
taking
it
every
and...
last minute. Whereas other presidents,
he and
like
Hillary
not,
making
like...
goo-goo eyes at each other.
It's only a few more years before
and
we're back.
You gotta ride with the next person, then you catch a helicopter out. Okay, and you go over the inauguration, and when I was there, I lived in Washington, D.C. in 1992, and I didn't feel bad, but, man, it must be tough if you lose your reelection campaign and
that's
leave.
Gotta be tough.
You can do eight. Bam!
After eight years, years, you're like, hey, pilot, can you step on it? Let's go.
Let's go. And I said, you know what? Where are you going? I said, man, I'm going to go to some, bar
somewhere. Back in my hometown.
Simpsons episode where George H.W. moves across the street from Homer.
Yeah.
And he's writing his memoirs. He's like, having accomplished everything in one term, I decided to leave.
Exactly. Good point. So, that day is special, no matter what.
And it's
but
important.
Yeah, I'd be leaving. I'd say that's enough of that.
Yeah, but it's also really important I am not a big person who believes a lot in ceremonies. I think most of the time they're silly. That is such a clear message. We transfer power peacefully in this country.
Yes.
That's a signal to everybody we do it.
And these are two people like Issa, and it happened before, 4 years ago. It's happened many times where it's just like, these two people really don't like each other all that much.
Mm-hmm.
But they will play this game because this is really important to the United States of America and to the world. Mm-hmm. No matter what you think of us, we do this in a rational way.
This is a good opportunity to say this because we pretty much, as a population, as a station, as a group, we bitch. It's fun. We bitch and we moan. But what an amazing system this is. We haven't broken it yet.
Right.
We've bent
Not quite.
It. We've bent it real good.
Oh, it's deformed right now.
It still works. The basics of it do work. And I remember taking con law back in law school and really having it hammered home to me. This system is built around nothing happening.
Right.
That's what it's built around. We don't want a king. We don't want a monarch. And all these checks and balances are frustrating. But this is exactly the point.
No, that's exactly it. And and it really starts with your local election because it works the exact same way. Mm-hmm. So like it's something like we are only like one of, 3%. Now we should have elections like on Saturday or over the weekend. I love the Tuesday thing.
To increase turnout,
Turnout. But we are like one of 5% of the countries that has any other people running for office on the day that the president runs for office. Like come November, we're voting for county executive and this and that. And there's this big old long ballot. Mm-hmm. You said like most countries got like two boxes, X. Carry on, and whatever your local election is, they can have them whenever,
right.
So that's another part of it that there's a lot every 2 years that we vote on.
Yep.
And finally, right along those lines, when an election does not fall, either every 2 years or the ones every 4 years,
nobody goes.
Nobody votes.
Yeah. I'm usually in the little school by myself in the
me too.
poking at the little games here.
Right. And it's kind of, I'm the same way. So like,
it's like, hey, Alice, I'm back. Gabe's gone. We can go.
What do you got in April? What's on the thing in April? Said like, well, I guess it's the primary, and then we have a school board.
Local school board election.
And a city council election. Yep. Now, you know when they hand you the little slip and it has your number on it?
Yeah.
Okay. Usually I'm there in the morning, so I'm a low number. But I've gone in the late afternoon. Mm-hmm. Well, you go like in the late afternoon, you wait, and you're like number, 3,700 presidential election. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go at the same time for your local election. You're number 17. It's 3:00 in the afternoon. Well, the rush hasn't come yet.
One more segment after this in the Think Tank DGS quick break.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.